Everyone holds his own fortune in his own hands. That's a quote from Goethe. And what Robert Greene opens his mastery book with. This is powerful stuff. And this is going to be a masterclass on mastery, on becoming exactly what you want to be in life and give back to the universe. Welcome to Flourish. I'm Diane Planetin, and you're in the right place if you're ready to create an inspired life. And we do so by working on our own personal development, so we can be strong role models for those we love and mentor, and strong for our own personal well-being. Well, I am super excited. This is the second book I'm sharing by the world-famous international best-selling author Robert Greene, and how can you tell I'm a big fan? But his books literally change people's lives. So let's jump right in. I don't read the book word for word. I give you some highlights, some things to think about, some ideas to start a conversation, maybe with just yourself, on how you want to move forward in this beautiful world of ours. So here we go. He says, there exists a form of power and intelligence that represents the high point of human potential. It's the source of the greatest achievements and discoveries in history. It is an intelligence that is not taught in our schools nor analyzed by professors. But most all of us at some point have had glimpses of it in our own experience. It often comes to us in a period of tension, facing a deadline, the urgent need to solve a problem, a crisis of sorts. Or it can come as the result of constant work on a project. In any event, pressed by circumstances, we feel unusually energized and focused. Our minds become completely absorbed in the task before us. This intense concentration sparks all kinds of ideas. They come to us as we fall asleep, out of nowhere, as if springing from our unconscious. At these times, other people seem less resistant to our influence. Perhaps we are more attentive to them, or we appear to have special power that inspires their respect. We might normally experience life in a passive mode, constantly reacting to this or that incident, but for these days or weeks, we feel like we can determine events and make things happen. And he's not talking about manifestation. He's talking about stop wishing, start doing. Do the work. Move forward in the process, little bits at a time. And it will compound. Just like interest can compound, what you do daily compounds. What your habits are compound. Mastery is part of that journey. Mastery is the ultimate experience. It's when you've really reached your goal. Not perfection, your goal. Let's continue. He says, we quickly realize how much hard work there is ahead of us. When you enter these situations, right? You're like, oh, I'm so excited. The great danger is that we give into feelings of boredom, impatience, fear, and confusion. We stop observing and learning. The process comes to a halt. So what can you do? If, on the other hand, you manage these emotions and allow time to take its course, something remarkable begins to take shape. We slowly gain confidence in our ability to solve problems or overcome weaknesses through sheer persistence. It's almost like you're going with the flow. You're just leaning into it, right? This becomes part of you. You internalize it. And he says, in the process leading to this ultimate form of power, we can identify three distinct phases or levels. The first is the apprenticeship. The second is the creative active. And the third, mastery. In the first phase, we stand on the outside of our field, learning as much as we can on the basic elements and rules. The second phase, through much practice and immersion, we see into the inside of the machinery, how things connect with one another, and thus gain a more comprehensive understanding of the subject.
With this comes a new power, the ability to experiment and creatively play with elements involved. And then the third phase, our degree of knowledge, experience, and focus is so deep that we can now see the whole picture with complete clarity. Listen to this. We have access to the heart of life, to human nature and natural phenomena. That is why the artwork masters touches us to the core. The artist has captured something in the essence of reality. That is why the brilliant scientist can uncover a new law of physics, and the inventor or entrepreneur can hit upon something no one else has imagined. What do you call this power? We can call this power intuition. But intuition is nothing more than a sudden and immediate setting of what is real without the need for words or formulas. The words and formulas may come later, but this flash of intuition is what ultimately brings us closer to reality as our minds suddenly become illuminated by some particle of truth previously hidden to us and to others. I like to call that the aha moment. I'm like, oh my gosh, that was hiding in plain sight. But that's what the process is all about. It's like working through it, right? And this is just the introduction. When we reach mastery, this intuition is a power at our command, the fruit of working through the lengthier process. Think of mastery in this way. Throughout history, men and women have felt trapped by the limitations of their consciousness, by their lack of contact with reality and the power to affect the world around them. They've sought all kinds of shortcuts and magic formulas, magic pills, magic diet, magic money. There's no secret that the magic lies within yourself. You know what work you need to do. It's there. Humans are natural planners. We're natural schedulers. We naturally move through our day. So take a moment as you're listening or watching about this book to reflect and think. Enough with the magic, enough with the lotto tickets, enough with that. That's not going to help me. How are you going to finally do what gives you the greatest power of all? I love that. Oh my goodness. He says, over the centuries, people have placed a wall around such mastery. They have called it genius and thought of it as inaccessible. They have seen it as the product of privilege, inborn talent, or just the right alignment of the stars. They have made it seem as if it were as elusive as magic. But that wall is imaginary. This is the real secret. The brain that we possess is the work of 6 million years of development. And more than anything else, this evolution of the brain was designed to lead us to mastery, the latent power within us all. So if you're thinking, I'm hungry for a shortcut and I'm going to buy into that guy's YouTube channel because he's promising me millions, think again. And he goes on to give us a little bit of a history lesson on how humans evolved and how we became thinking beings because our ancestors had the wherewithal to move from a primate formation to today's world of amazing technology. Somebody had a vision, thinking, prefrontal cortex. It's called your executive function, and it is a powerhouse. You nurture it, feed it, you put information in there. Think about it. In the old days, it's true. Privileged people who could be in the right place at the right time with the right education, with the right circle of influence, with the right friends, with the right money. They were the ones that controlled everything. And now that's the upside of technology. Now we can use it for the powerful good. I started my morning listening to a TED Talk. that would have never been accessible to me before. Only the people who could afford to attend the live event. I don't know what the ticket was. Let's say it was $4,000 over a 2 or 3 day event. I'm not sure about that detail. Now it's accessible if you have internet access. And you must, because you're listening to this. Think about all the knowledge and the wisdom and the positive energy that you can gather from this. It's out there for the taking. If this power had not evolved, the minds of our ancestors would have become easily overwhelmed by the mass of information they had to process for a successful hunt. They had to develop this intuitive power hundreds of thousands of years before the invention of language. And that is why, when we experience this intelligence, it seems like something proverbial, a power that transcends our ability to put it into words. Understand, he says, this long stretch of time played a critical element role in our mental development. It fundamentally altered our relationship to time. They used their time effectively. They didn't skip steps because they weren't going to make a bow and arrow overnight. They weren't going to build an airplane overnight. They weren't going to set up the first factory line overnight. Everything takes time. But that reminds me of a quote from Henry Ford. If you think you can or think you can't, you're right. You can do this over time. If all of us are born with essentially similar brain, with more or less the same configuration and potential for mastery, why is it then that in history, only a limited number of people seem to truly excel and realize this potential power? Certainly, in a practical sense, this is the most important question for us to answer. But thousands upon thousands of children display exceptional skills and talent in some field, yet relatively few of them ever amount to anything. Whereas those who are less brilliant in their youth can often attain much more. Natural talent or high IQ cannot explain future achievement. And he gives an example in his book about Darwin, who dedicated his life to the theory of evolution. But it wasn't a quick move, was it? 5 years on a boat, sailing the seas, collecting specimens, probably even poisonous ones. But it was his love of doing that and took patience and drudgery and boredom and a lot of quiet time thought. And today, aren't we the good recipients of that? And at the core, Robert Greene says, of this intensity of effort is in fact a quality that is genetic and inborn, not talent or brilliance, which is something that must be developed, but rather a deep and powerful inclination toward a particular subject. This inclination is a reflection of a person's uniqueness. This uniqueness is not something merely poetic or philosophical. It is a scientific fact that generally every one of us is unique. Our exact genetic makeup has never happened before and will never be repeated. This uniqueness is revealed to us through the preferences we innately feel for particular activities or subjects of study. It's your inner calling. They dominate your thoughts and your dreams. And they find their way by accident or sheer effort to a career path in which this inclination can flourish, develop a resiliency and confidence that others lack. Our levels of desire, patience, persistence, and confidence end up playing a much larger role in success than sheer reasoning powers, feeling motivated and energized. We can overcome almost anything. Feeling bored or restless, our mind shut off, and we become increasingly passive. And we become couch potatoes. And we sit around watching millionaires make more money on TV. This is where you have to think, what can I do today that's going to make a difference in my life? What little baby step can I make? What am I good at? What can I give back? How can I pay it forward? All the while actually having an end game goal in mind. And it's a vision that you create for yourself. Just like an easy one's athletic analogy, just like a soccer player knows, there's the goal. How am I going to get there? What obstacles are in my way? What strategies should I take? How am I going to design this and move forward? Just a little train of thought to think about. Today, he says, we have the kind of access to information and knowledge that past masters could only dream about. Now, more than ever, we have the capacity and freedom to move toward the inclination that all of us possesses as part of our genetic uniqueness. It's time that word genius becomes demystified and de-rarefied. We are all closer than we think to such intelligence. But we live in a world that seems increasingly beyond our control. Our livelihoods are at the whim of globalized forces. The problems we face, economic, environmental, and so on, cannot be solved by individual action. Our politicians are distant and unresponsive to our desires. Okay, all that aside, he says, a natural response when people feel overwhelmed is to retreat into various forms of passivity. We don't try too much in life. If we limit our circle of action, we can give ourselves the illusion of control. For this reason, we become attracted to certain narratives. It's genetics that determines much of what we do. We're just a product of our times. The individual is just a myth. Human behavior can be reduced to statistical trends. But no, science is proving this completely different, right? He says, if you're not careful, you will find this attitude infecting you in subtle ways. You will unconsciously lower your sights as to what you can accomplish in life. And if your values are clear, if your values about life are clear and what you stand for, the decision-making on what you're going to do next will get easier. And that's what's cool about this book, literally about Robert Greene, is he's not sugarcoating this. So he goes on to say, you may grow frustrated and depressed, never realizing that the source of it is your alienation from your own creative potential. Before it's too late, you must find your way to your inclinations, exploring the incredible opportunities of the age that you have been born into, knowing the critical importance of desire and your emotional connection to your work, which are the keys to mastery. You can, in fact, make the passivity of these times work in your favor and serve as a motivating device in two important ways. First, you must see your attempt at attaining mastery as something extremely necessary and positive. This is not mastery for the purpose of dominating nature or other people, but for determining our fate. You are setting an example of what can be achieved as a master in the modern world. You are contributing to the most important cause of all, the survival and prosperity of the human race in a time of stagnation. Second, you must convince yourself of the following. People get the mind and quality of brain that they deserve through their actions in life. Do you believe that? People get the mind and quality of brain that they deserve through their actions in life. When scientists are demonstrating the degree to which the brain is actually quite plastic, how our thoughts determine our mental landscape, they are exploring the relationship of willpower to physiology, how profoundly the mind can affect our health and functionality. It is possible that more and more will be discovered about how deeply we create the various patterns of our lives through certain mental operations, how we are truly responsible for so much of what happens to us. And he's not referencing when you're a child, because certain things are beyond your control. But once you have the freedom to create your own life, your own destiny, that's where this becomes golden. As a parent, you can master being a good parent, having good principles, and being a good reflection of what your child sees. Just something to think about in that regard too. Mastery does not have to be the Mona Lisa. So small, right? People who are passive create a mental landscape that is rather barren. Because of their limited experiences and actions, all kinds of connections in the brain die off from lack of use. Pushing against the passive trend of these times, you must work to see how far you can extend control of your circumstances and create the kind of mind you desire. Not through drugs, but through action, unleashing the masterful mind within. You will be at the vanguard of those who are exploring the extended limits of human willpower. And this is interesting. As you progress, old ideas and perspectives die off. As new powers are unleashed, you are initiated into higher levels of seeing the world. Consider mastery as the invaluable tool in guiding you through this transformative process. The first step will be to discover your life's task. And as we work through this, 6 different components of this book, and I record these all separately because I don't know which stage you are in your life. If you're just starting out, you're going to have to start with the first step. I know you believe in yourself. I believe we're having a great journey here together. And I'm so excited that the writers like Robert Greene are sharing ancient words of wisdom and applying it to our modern day life so that the next generation doesn't have to struggle to reinvent the wheel again. You learned how to walk. You learned how to talk. You learned technology. You learned to ride a bike. You didn't do all of that with a quick fix. Mastery, and especially if you're leveling up to a really high level and you're building your own personal empire, it's going to take time. All I'm asking is that you commit to the next 6 weeks, listening to this, going through your ideas, mapping out a plan, and you will live a more inspired life. I'll see you soon.